My name is Sam Shakya. I've been in America for about 30 years now. May of 1989 is when I came here. I'm a filmmaker and I work at CUNY TV as a video editor. I also made a documentary film about the Newark community called Reviving Nepal Bhasha. And I'm here with Deepika and Anuj for their podcast at the end of the day.
Thank you so much, Sam, for being in the podcast today.
Sure, yeah, pleasure to be here.
I watched a documentary, and so has Anuj, the documentary on Reviving Nepal Bhasha,
right,
which is for people who are not aware with what Nepal Bhasha is. It's a language which we also call Newari language,
right,
of Nepal. And that was a very nice documentary. Congratulations on
that
work.
Thank you. I finally did it.
And it was, you know, it got an honorable mention on Queen's World Film Festival, I think,
right,
2 years ago.
Right.
And I was there to cover the festival. So
great.
I was glad to, you know, witness you guys, you know, accepting that award. Felt really good.
Yeah, it feels good too, because, you know, I've been trying to work on this for a while now. So,
right,
you know, luckily I found my partner Bimina, and we were able to complete it.
You know.
I wouldn't have done it without her.
Right. Yeah.
Since we are mentioning Bimina, I would like to say a quick shout out to Bimina Ranjit.
To talk about starting about your journey, you came here at the age of
seven. So I came in May of 1989,
mm-hmm,
and I first came to Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
My dad is a linguist.
Right.
So he is the one who inspired me, mm-hmm, down this path of, you know, preserving culture, because he went to University of Oregon.
Right.
So I grew up in that international community. Mm-hmm. And ever since we were little, my dad participated in like cultural events and,
mm-hmm,
stuff. He was president of the Kathmandu Eugene Sister City.
Okay.
So he's very much involved in the community, but, you know, I had to find my own way to preserve the culture. And for me,
mm-hmm,
my art is in the digital realm, so.
Right. And you did your bachelor's from?
University of Oregon.
And what was your major?
It was mathematics.
Mathematics. Whoa, mathematics to filmmaking.
And then actually what I started doing was...
Are you bad at math?
Now I'm starting to lose it. But my initial degree was computer science, because
okay,
I was following, you know, that, you know, you have to be like some sort of engineer.
Right.
But I just didn't feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept the math, and then I looked into digital art. And
right.
So I have a double degree.
Right.
I have a BFA in digital arts and a mathematic degree.
Right. And you did your master's from, I believe, Brooklyn College?
Right.
Right. That was in film studies?
That was television production.
Television production. You know, you came at an early age, so how easy was it for you to, you know, adopt yourself in U.S. culture?
I wouldn't say it was easy, because my dad was a student. He had two
kids. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So my sister and I came together.
Mm-hmm.
My brother stayed back in Nepal. So, you know, having two kids, doing a master's degree in linguistics,
right,
I think it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But for the kids, you know, my dad always put on this veil, like,
mm-hmm,
life was happy. And he never, like, whatever he did it for his kids. So
right.
I never saw the struggle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a kid in America, there's so much support.
Right.
So when I went to elementary school, they had like free lunch,
mm-hmm,
they had summer programs, so I was just a happy kid, you know.
Right.
I even, like, there was a lot of international support, so there was a lot of, you know, kids my age that were going through the same identity, like,
mm-hmm,
you know,
who am I? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I even spoke a little Korean back then, because,
oh,
you know,
mm-hmm,
that was the community that I grew up in.
Right.
And I'm very fortunate that I ended up in Oregon too, because,
mm-hmm,
you know, Eugene, Oregon has a sister city relationship with Kathmandu.
Okay.
If you go to the city hall right now,
mm-hmm,
in Eugene, Oregon, you'll see like this water tap, that traditional Newar water tap,
okay,
in the city hall. So,
mm-hmm,
and there are scholarships, I think, for University of Oregon students too,
mm-hmm,
for Nepali students specifically.
Oh. Wow.
So for that, you know, it was a lot kind of easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have it as hard, but I'm sure if you ask my dad, it would be the flip side, you know,
right.
Because, you know,
mm-hmm,
he was just a student, and then he had two kids, you know.
Right.
And then when you were growing up as a teenage boy, how was the experience of being an immigrant teenage boy in the United States?
I think it was a little hard, you know. I still feel like I don't have a strong identity one way or the other, mm-hmm. you know? Because I came when I was 7.
Right.
I had the American culture.
Right.
I ate American food, you know? And then, so if I go on to my American friends, they'll be like, oh, you're Nepali. Mm-hmm. If I go to my Nepali friends, they would be like, oh, you're American. So it's
right.
like, I'm just like...
Like, who am I?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I think my identity will always be back and forth. It'll
mm-hmm.
never be like, oh, I'm 100% new or I'm 100% this, you
mm-hmm.
know? Because, you know, you have to be open-minded. Otherwise, you know, the culture can't survive if you don't adopt and adapt.
Right,
like my noirness is when I was 7 years old. So if I speak noir, people would think that I'm a little kid
mm-hmm.
because it's like almost like a time capsule, you
right.
know? Because mm-hmm. my grammar stopped when I was 7 years old. So
right.
whatever I know
at seven,
mm-hmm. at seven. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause especially because when I was in, I went back to Nepal after 16 years
right.
in 2005,
mm-hmm.
that was my BFA thesis actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a brother there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my brother for the first time after 16 years.
Right.
So that was interesting as well, you
mm-hmm.
know, to see how much my culture evolved and to see my brother who is blood related, but
right.
yet he's, I don't know him that well.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have internet back in
right,
the day.
Right, right.
So it's like communication was a little difficult, you
mm-hmm.
know.
So Sam, now let's get into your career now.
Right.
So how did you transform yourself being a filmmaker? And I was looking at your LinkedIn and you did a lot of freelance gig.
Right.
So let's hear about that journey.
You know, I had this idea in my head to make a film or something
mm-hmm.
visual
mm-hmm.
so that we could capture the essence of our culture.
Right.
So it kept evolving until I got an opportunity to go to Nepal.
Okay.
As actually a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
So my BFA, you know, my
BFA. Bachelor in Fine Arts?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that curriculum, you have to create some sort of artwork for your final showing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my film name at that time was Tourist in My Own Homeland.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, that's who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I went there and, you know, I was an artist more than like a filmmaker.
Right.
So I shot some B-roll, some stuff, and I made some art piece.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gallery showing and everything, but it never felt complete.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to continue that and somehow capture the film that I wanted. So
okay.
then when I got my MFA, I decided to do a film.
Mm-hmm.
And I still wasn't happy, you know,
because
right. what I was lacking was understanding of the language.
Mm. Which language are you talking about?
The Noir language.
Noir language. Okay.
Because
mm-hmm.
I was only 7 when I left.
Right, right.
So when these guys spoke to me, they were like, blah, blah, blah. I was like,
you needed a translator.
I needed a translator. I didn't know that, you know,
right.
and going back and forth with my dad, even though he teaches Noir language,
right.
it wasn't as easy, you know. So
yeah.
luckily, you know, that's when Bimina came into the picture and.
Mm.
She helped me and we sat together and we restructured it and finally told the story that I wanted, which is, you know, to let people know that, you know, where Kathmandu came from and
mm-hmm.
that was my goal, you know.
And now you are an editor at
right.
CUNY
right.
TV, which is City University of New York's TV, right?
Right.
What does your daily work look like?
Well, it just depends, you know. I'm always editing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my... You know, that's what I do.
Yeah,
so
that's your main job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, at CUNY TV, I don't look at myself as a video editor.
Mm-hmm.
I look at more like a storyteller.
Right.
So I work with the producers. They give me a script.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we plan out how we can tell the story. Because
mm-hmm.
what you see on paper is very different
True.
From what you see, you know, on TV and
mm-hmm.
visually. So that's where I come in and, you know, bring the story alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they... you know, want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, going to University of Oregon was a very blessing for me because I did digital arts.
Mm-hmm.
So I got fascinated with like creating graphics
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So
right.
so I'm not only limited to just video editing, you know, I have like background in like graphics and that's where my interest is.
Because
mm-hmm. in the end, you know, the story is what matters. You
right,
know?
Right.
And the more tool you have in the bag, the better it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
What were the key challenges that you faced when you were initially in entering in the sector of journalism and filmmaking?
I mean, I think I'm more of an artist than a journalist because
right.
I didn't really study journalism
mm-hmm.
as more than you know, studying the arts. Right. You know, I took fine arts. Mm-hmm. So I would consider myself an artist first before right. I say journalism, you know. Mm-hmm. Journalism's just happen, you know, organically.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So I like telling stories, you know. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the noir way, you know, like, because when we were little, we didn't have entertainment. We didn't have television, right. You know. I remember back home, like, our neighbor had a television. We watched Knight Rider, but it was, like, way far away, and it was black and white, you know. But, you know, we had to entertain ourselves, so, mm-hmm. you know. And the way we did it was either grandma telling stories or we were running around until, you know, because we had all our cousins together, you know. So mm-hmm. I always see myself as a storyteller.
Right.
So I also love storytelling, and I've made some films as well, short films, and some documentary as well. But sometimes when it comes to storytelling to an audience who are non-Nepalese, you know, right. I struggle to make them understand what that really is. Because as a Nepali guy, as a Nepali filmmaker, I understand what that is.
Right.
But when you are telling a story from their angle, like, I struggle how to tell the story in such a way that they understand it. You know,
right.
Sometimes I struggle in terms of that path. So right. How do you deal about it?
Well, when I made my film, I first made the film the way I wanted it.
Okay.
The hardest part of making any story is just getting it started.
Okay.
Because if you just have all these ideas in your head and it just keeps circulating, mm-hmm. and you don't put it on paper, even if it's stupid, like,
right.
you know, just put the idea out there mm-hmm. and then keep working and massage it. Mm-hmm. Don't just let it, like, germinate in your head and be like, oh, they won't understand it.
Right.
That's how I felt when I first started. I was like, oh, they're not going to get it.
Right.
But, you know, if it's important to you, if you have enough passion for it, mm-hmm. you will find a way to, like, the universe will find a way to help you mm-hmm. reach that final goal.
Okay.
Because, like, when I made my film, it was just about this grad student going to Nepal going, I want to learn all about the Newar culture.
Tourists in my country.
Yeah. And then, like, so it sat there, but I did do something with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then later I met Bimina, mm-hmm. and then she helped me translate. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't happen immediately,
right.
but I still told the story I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow the universe was like, here you go, mm-hmm. make the story you want. You have a, you know, new avenue. Don't be afraid, like, you know, if it was like back when I started in the 90s, it was a lot harder to tell your story.
Yeah.
These days, there's no excuse for it.
Right,
like,
right.
Because the internet, what it has done for us is so amazing. Like, I wrote one article for a journal back in, like, 97, mm-hmm. when I was, like, 16 years old. And that was, like, one of the only few ways you can, like, kind of tell your story.
Right.
But now we live in a YouTube world.
True,
We have Spotify. You guys have your podcast.
Right, right.
So, you know, there's no way that people will run out of ideas to tell their story. If you look, you know, there's a lot of resources. So there is really no excuse. And you don't have to be a filmmaker to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do radio, you can do also poems,
right,
you can do,
right.
you can write articles, have a blog, mm-hmm. have a vlog, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the hardest part is to just get yourself started and don't be afraid, I think, you
yes.
know?
Yeah.
That would be what I say, you know? Like, if you have something passionate that you feel,
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing is that you have to have passion, because I've had a lot of documentary films that I germinated, but mm-hmm. it flopped.
Right.
And it didn't flop because of the subject matter, it flopped because of the passion that you have inside for it.
Right.
Like, if you downright feel good about it, you have the passion, you feel good about the subject,
mm-hmm.
everything will take care of itself, because you'll find ways to, like, mm-hmm. make it happen, you know.
Great. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to reach out to you for any career advice, what would be your best way to get in touch with you?
SAMSHAKYA.com.
Okay, great.
You can reach me from there.
Yeah,
okay.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much, Sam,
okay.
for your time. Thank you.
All right, great.
So, we would like to also say special thanks to the English Speaking Union and New Rome New Immigrant Center for providing us the space to record the podcast. New Rome New Immigrant Center provides free English language classes and professional development classes to the newly arriving immigrants like you and me. So definitely get in touch with the ESU Arnik.
And don't forget to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you find us.
Yes, thank you so much. So we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Guys, a quick note. If you have a personal story that you think might be helpful to the newly arriving immigrants in the US, please contact us. We would love to feature you in our podcast. Go to our website, podcast@theendoftheday.com, and write to us by going to the feedback section.
And by the way, if you love this podcast, you can support us with a small donation. Your help will enable us to continue producing more episodes. The link to support our podcast is in the description below.